The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Hello, everybody! Welcome, welcome, welcome to 8 Days a Week. This is the show where myself and Jeff Lane go over all our shows with all the superstars on the shows. We got, God, I've lost track of who we have, bro. We've got Stevie Ray, right? We got Shane Douglas. We got Bin Hameen and Stevie Richards. We got the Disco Inferno. We got Vito LaGraza. Who else do we have, bro? I've lost track. We've got the great Taylor Hendricks. Who else do we have, bro?
Goldilocks, of course. I think that is everybody.
Did I say? Disco. I didn't even say disco, bro.
Well, he's forgettable.
Yeah, bro. We got so many shows. It is still less than $1 a week, bro. There is no long term commitment. You could, you know, shuffle in, shuffle out anytime you like. All you have to do is go to russosbrand.com. Jay Lane, did you watch any of the NFL draft?
No, I just kind of looked at what the Bills picked because they didn't have a first round pick. I normally watch the first round and that's about it, but the Bills didn't have a first round pick, so I didn't watch anything.
Yeah, so were you happy with their picks? I mean, did you look into them after the draft or what?
Yeah, they. I thought they picked well. They got a good defensive end, it seems, a wide receiver. They got a power running back that should be a good change of pace from Singletary. Seems like they drafted a quarterback that could be a good backup quarterback, so I was happy with it.
Yeah. Well, bro, you know what, Jeff? Today is we're filming this on Monday. We are live on Twitch. People are with us right now on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Vince Russo Live. Today is the 27th. Bro, I think I'm getting close to a decision that come May 1st. Is May 1st Friday?
Yes.
I think I've come to a decision, bro, that come May 1st, I'm done with this. I'm done. It's over for me. It's over. It's over.
What? Staying in the house?
Yeah, it's staying in the house, wearing a mask when I go outside. I mean, I'll wash my hands and I'll do social distancing and all that shit. But the rest of the stuff, bro, I'm done with it. It's May 1st. Bro, we have to, as a matter of fact, today is Thursday. We're supposed to be pushing 90 degrees here today. Bro, I'm done with it. I'm done. I'm done with all the bullshit news. I'm done with them changing the rules every day. You know, now we're finding out it's a 0.001%. I'm finished with it, bro. I've been locked up and cooped up since March 14th. I've been a good little boy. I've played by the rules. You know, it comes to the point, bro, like, honestly, like, you know what, bro? If I get it, I get it. I'm not going to stay freaking locked up and sequestered in my freaking house during the summer. That's not living. You know, and I'm not recommending that anybody do this either. You do whatever you want to do. But I think I gave enough of my freaking life. I've done everything I was expected to do and more. But, bro, it's at the point now where, like, okay, bro, like, enough's enough. Like, people have to live their lives. Hold on. D-Man said, Vince, they want you to wear a mask. Guys, can I explain something to you? Do you know what the chances are of you literally walking into a virus because somebody coughed in that same exact spot 15 minutes prior? Do you know what those chances are? Bro, you can wear the mask till the cows come home. The bottom line is somebody would literally have to cough or sneeze in your face. So if you're doing the six feet distancing, do you know what the freaking odds are of, oh, bro, somebody coughed in the area you just walked in 15 minutes ago. Now you got it. Do you know how ridiculous that is? You know how freaking insane that is? Bro, every year, like clockwork, I get the flu. I get the flu every single year. And you know how I get it, Jeff? I always know when I get it. And I always get it, bro, when I'm out in the weather and it's freezing cold and I'm shoveling my freaking driveway, or I took a walk around the block. When I know when I'm sick, when it's cold and I go out, as soon as I come in my house, I know, okay, bro, I'm sick. I don't think I've ever gotten sick by somebody like literally sneezing in my face or coughing in my face. Bro, enough with this freaking madness. I was playing on the side of caution. Okay, bro, caution, great. You got 50 days out of me. It's over. It's freaking over, bro. It's over. And I'm not recommending anybody do what I do. And bro, trust me, if I was sick, I would not go out and spread it to anybody else. I would never do that. So if I were sick, I'm going to stay home. But if I am healthy, bro, enough with this freaking madness.
Well, I told you a couple weeks ago that I thought we were going to see this. The fear will go away and it will turn into people going stir crazy and they're tired of it and they just want to get out and live their lives. And so many people need to get back to work and get their money. And it seems like it's happening to you, but it's happening to a lot of people, you know, as well. It seems like the fear is now going away.
Yeah. And I guarantee you May 1st, there's going to be a million Vince Russos on May 1st. There's going to be a million, bro, where it's like, okay, bro, enough. Freaking enough. We've had enough. Now, like I said, bro, if I'm sick, that's one thing. I will not leave my house. I will not put anybody else in jeopardy. But my God, bro, if you're going out and you're washing your hands, you could still social distance. That's not a problem with anybody. But going out like a drool and freaking wearing a mask. I just went to the post office this morning, bro. I'm in the post office wearing a mask like a moron. Enough, bro. What are they going to say? Oh, yeah. Okay, guys, hold on 1 month. Let's see where we are June 1st. Then what, bro? Then what it is? Then it's July 1st. Then the whole sum is gone. Then the whole sum is gone. Then what, bro? Then what? They're going to do this to all of us going into the holiday season? We're all going to have a shitty black Christmas because they're putting the fear of God in us? Come on, bro. Enough.
Well, I think you also owe me an apology because a bunch of listeners send me links. Doctors in Australia are doing studies on catching coronavirus from farts. And apparently you can if you inhale a bare-assed fart.
Well, yeah, bro, you'd literally have to have your nose implanted in somebody's sphincter. Okay, bro, because you're not, because if you fart regularly, like you were accusing me of, the pants act as the mask. So how's the fart going through denim, bro?
It could slide out the bottom of the leg.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Freaking mark.
You know, if you're not tucking in your shirt, you know, it could go up, maybe out the neck. It could go up the shirt and then out the side. Farts are dangerous, dude. I would wear the mask for the farts.
That's ridiculous. And I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm not telling everybody to take heed to what I just said. I'm just saying I've had enough. I've had enough, bro. I think now we're getting to the point of being freaking ridiculous. God, bro, I guarantee you, I don't care what anybody says, okay? I guarantee you, bro, if last year at this time we were monitoring the number of cases of the flu in the United States, I guarantee you the numbers would be very, very, very similar. Jeff, if they started monitoring right now, how many people had heart attacks and how many people died of a heart attack? If we started seeing those numbers every single day, I guarantee you, bro, they would convince us to never eat meat again. You know how many people, bro, get heart attacks on a daily basis, die of heart attacks? You know how many people, bro, get the flu, die of the flu? They don't shove those numbers up our ass every single minute of every day. If they did that, the numbers would be similar. And bro, yeah. When do they stop with the numbers? When, okay, guys, we got it. We got it. We've seen the numbers for the last 60 days. I got it. I got the numbers. And first of all, jack-offs, okay, we're barely over 50,000. 70,000 killed, 70,000 died of the flu last year. 70,000. We're barely over 50,000. And these were the same jack-offs that were telling us, bro, in March, 200,000 people were going to die from corona. 200,000. That was the number that Bix was using back in March to scare the shit out of people. So now we're sitting at 53,000. Bro, 70,000 died of the flu last year. So
but is that comparing 12 months to 2 months?
What are you talking about? Flu season. During flu season, 70,000 people died last year. During corona season, 53,000 people have died. My point is, if every year they put up the flu numbers, the numbers would be almost identical. But you know what the problem is, bro? The problem is when people had the flu, you don't run to the freaking hospital. That's the problem. They convinced you when you were feeling corona type symptoms, what do you got to do? You got to go to the hospital. So now everybody's in the hospital. And for the majority of the cases, what did they do, bro? They sent those people home and told them to take Tylenol. That's the difference. You don't run to the hospital when you got the flu. You know it's the flu.
Well, I think that's part of it. We didn't know what this was. And now that people are starting to know what it is, they're thinking like you are, and they're not scared anymore. So enough is enough. You know, at first, what the hell is this thing? We don't know. It's killing people around the world. People now are dying here of it. We don't know how fast it's going to spread. You know, you try to get a hold of this thing with zero information, not dealing with it. I think that was the big deal with our, until we know what the hell we're doing, shut everything down. But now that maybe they do know what they're doing and they are containing it, okay, all right, so why do we still need to be shut down? And that's what a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah, no, they've had enough, bro. We've played by the rules. We listened, okay? Bro, like, you know, when you're asking people to take here's what you're telling them to do. Literally, whether you're healthy or not, literally take 2 months out of your life, okay? And you know what, bro? That's fine. But the 2 months is over. It's freaking over. It's done, bro. It's over. And like I said, I'm not recommending anybody do it. But my God, bro, like seriously. Guys, think about it. Think about it. Because they're going to keep you in now going into the summer. And they're already telling you, November, we're going through this again. So, bro, they are going to your holiday is totally going to be ruined. You're not going to be able to see family, Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know, bro, there's got to be a point where you say, you know what? I'm a big boy. I've gathered all the information. Okay. Yes, bro, I will be cleaner than I've ever been before. If I go out, I will social distance myself from people. If I'm sick, I will not go out. Okay, bro. But for you to put these freaking constrictions on my life, bro, come on, stop. Stop it. Put us in a cage like freaking animals, bro.
You going to start wearing underwear?
No, absolutely not. All right, let's talk about what happened on the brand this week.
Well, these shows, guys, you get them in video and audio with the Realm Network.
Time out. Let me address El Toro Black on Twitch. El Toro Black says, to play devil's advocate, Vince, the ones that had serious conditions went to the hospital. Those that had mild conditions stayed at home. El Toro Black, you are absolutely incorrect. Because I heard so many stories where people went to the hospital and were told to just go home and take Tylenol. You're wrong. That's a wrong statement. A lot of people did go to the hospital because it was serious and they couldn't breathe. But there are a lot of people that had just flu-like symptoms and went to the hospital that normally wouldn't have went to the hospital and were told to go home and freaking take Tylenol and quarantine for 2 weeks. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, because you're going to address 2K Benny, so might as well do it now before I start.
Let's see how quickly Vince's tune changes if someone close to him was sick. 2K Benny, why is that going to change? Okay, bro, if somebody close to me gets sick, that will mean they came in close contact with somebody that was sick. So how is that going to affect me? I just said, bro, if I social distance and nobody is sneezing or coughing in my face and I'm keeping my hands warm, why is it going to affect me if somebody I know comes down with it? What are you trying to say, 2K? If all of a sudden Jeff Lane says to me, hey, Vince, I got coronavirus, I'm going to lock myself in the house for the next 2 months? Is it like, where's the logic to that? There's no logic to that. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. So all these shows, guys, you get in video and audio. It is less than $1 a week. Zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. If you prefer audio, you even get your own private RSS feed to pop into your favorite podcast app and listen on the go. All you got to do is go to russosbrand.com. Right at the top, click subscribe to the Realm Network. We open the week with Castrating the Marks. And in this clip, Dave Meltzer is talking about your comments.
Who?
On Dark. I'm sorry, Meltzer, but people might not understand that reference.
I already put it out on Twitch. From here on in, he will be known as Dave Meltzer. 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 From here on in.
On this clip, he's talking about your comments on Dark Side of the Ring about if you knew, or if we knew what we know now about concussions back in 1998, there probably would not have been a brawl for all.
They would show like Russo watching Bart Gunn knock out JBL, and he's got this big smile on his face watching it. Well, at the same time, he's saying that, well, if I had known then what we know now about concussions, you know, I wouldn't, you know, now I'm not happy watching this guy get knocked out. But then I was, and it's kind of like, yeah, and we didn't know anything about concussions being bad for you then, did we? But whatever.
Jeff, let me go back. Let me go back and address this freaking asswipe, okay? I went back and watched, Jeff. This is how Meltzer works. I went back and watched. My comment about JBL being knocked out, Jeff, I was not watching the JBL footage. This was earlier in the interview. Bro, they interviewed me, then they had me watch it. So during the interview, they asked me the JBL question, and I was, yeah, bro, when he had to put his money where his mouth is, he got freaking knocked out, and it was, you know, yeah, bro, it was funny. Not while I was watching it, bro. Then when that part of it is over, they made me watch some of it, and I'm seeing JBL get his clock clean. Now I'm seeing it. And that's when, bro, I was serious. And I would say, bro, I would never want to see guys get hit that hard today with what we know about CTE. But you see the way he did that, bro? I was in two completely different places, Jeff. One of them, I was sitting there and it was a tight shot of me. The other one, I was in front of my television set. But again, bro, I would have brought all that shit up on his show. That's why he won't have me on the show. I know what you're doing. You're a dick, man. You are an absolute dick. That's not how it went down. And you're hoping people don't go back and rewatch it. I went back and rewatched it. And you're a dick, Dave. You're trying to paint something that wasn't real. And what did we know about CTE, Jeff, in 1998? What did we know?
Is he seriously trying to say that?
I mean, my God, when was all that stuff with that one doctor in football? That had to be 10 years later, bro. You're a dick. You're an asshole, bro. You're an asshole. And you don't have the balls to confront me to my face. You're a wimpy, whiny piece of shit.
And on the newest episode, we had Brian Alvarez even saying similar things. And it's, to me, this is a clear agenda because, no, people did not understand CTE in 1998 like we do today. But they're changing this and they're using this as their agenda because they're just using concussions in general that you didn't know about concussions in 1998. Well, no, we didn't understand the long-term effects. But they leave CTE out of the conversation because that's what you meant. Because if they say we did know about CTE back in 1998, then their argument is false. So they change the narrative and they just say we knew about concussions in 1998.
And what they use, bro, to dig themselves in a deeper hole was Shawn Michaels had post-concussion syndrome, okay? Well, Alvarez, the douche, okay, who knows everything about it, everything. Well, bro, guess what, douchebag? I had post-concussion syndrome too. And what did I do? I kept getting back in the ring. Why? Because, bro, a neurologist told me. A neurologist who diagnosed me with post-concussion told me, bro, you should be fine in 1 or 2 weeks. A neurologist in 1999 said that to me. So what did I do, bro? I myself, with post-concussion syndrome, kept getting back in the ring because there was no such thing as CTE back then. So both of you guys can kiss my big fat ass with your bullshit and your freaking agenda towards me. Shove it up your ass. The both of you bozos are full of shit. Whenever you grow a sack, whenever you grow a pair of balls, let me know when I'm going to be on your show. Until then, both of you guys are full of shit. And week by week by week by week, you keep exposing yourself. I know you're losing more and more listeners. I know you're losing more and more subscribers. These guys charge $12 to people to give out fake news.
Also on Monday, Mr. versus Mrs. with Big Vito and Noel. Let's take a look at a clip from the most recent episode.
Girl, you know nothing about me.
I don't know anything about you? Really? You used to go to the South Shore Country Club where you would get the seafood plate every Thursday. And I did not know you then. So how do I not know anything about you? I know everything about you. Girl. I know there's hair underneath there and it's a dark brown. A little wavy and used to wear it in a pushback style. And you once had a bleach blonde mohawk and a perm. True story, Vito had a perm. Your brother's name is Larry. Your other brother's name is Eddie. Your father's name is Lorenzo. And your mother's name was Margaret. Anything else? Anything else you want to know? Should I give out your social security number? I know that too. Your birthday?
I don't even know you.
6/18/64. Your favorite color is baby blue. Your eyes are hazel. When you're happy, they turn blue. Your favorite fruit is sushi, which is salmon. Your favorite cake is carrot cake, but not if tiramisu is available. Anything else? Anything else? You know nothing about me, but I know everything about you. You know nothing about me.
You love bacon.
Who doesn't? What kind of question is that?
Oh my! You just said I didn't know anything.
What's my favorite color?
I don't even want to talk with you.
What color are my eyes?
I don't even know.
Yeah. What's my mother's name?
Henrietta.
Yeah, right. Where was I born? What hospital was I born in?
Your father's name is Mitch.
Not even close. What hospital was I born in?
You were born in the barn, up in the Amish country.
No, I wasn't. I was born in the hospital in the city, and it was hot. When's my birthday?
Don't even know.
Yeah, that's what I thought. See? What's my favorite food? And it ain't bacon.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I appreciate bacon, like most of society's smart people, but it's not bacon.
You'd like a meatball parm.
I have never eaten a meatball parm around
here. Such
a lie. I haven't. I don't eat meatball parm. I'll eat it if it's there, but it's not my favorite food. It's not even close. What's my favorite topping on pizza? It ain't ranch. It's a favorite topping of pizza.
Okay, like, why do I exist?
You know nothing about me. No, it's more like, why do I exist? I know everything about you. You know nothing about
me. I'm the B-I-G-V from the L-O-G.
You are Vito Joseph LaGrasso from Brooklyn, New York. You are from Brooklyn. It is where you were born and raised. I don't get it.
Of course, they always debate a topic on that show where you guys can vote. So check out russosbrand.com, click on their link to their show, and you can get all the information on to vote on that. This week was ranch on pizza or not. You gave your thoughts on that, though, last week's show. I listened to some of it. Yeah, I have not listened to the whole
show. Who said there should be ranch on pizza?
Vito.
Oh God, that is disgusting, bro. That is freaking gross. Just hearing ranch on pizza, I want to freaking vomit.
On Tuesday, talks with Taylor Hendricks. She had two-time Super Bowl winner Brian McFadden on the show, and here is a clip from that.
I talk to a lot of people that, like in life, just like in their careers, they go through these ups and downs, and it kind of plays a role in their confidence and their mental toughness or lack thereof. So did that kind of have a building factor in the mental success that you achieved, especially when you said that you started watching more seasoned players to kind of figure out what to do and what not to do?
Yeah, for me, I was going in a direction that I'd never been before. So, you know, if you're called to drive somewhere and you don't know how to get there, you're not able to use GPS, the best way to get there safe and sound is to have someone who's been that route before show you. So that is what I did. I never went through an NFL season. I never went through the pain and agony of mentally putting yourself through a lot to be able to be in positions to make plays, physically putting yourself through a lot. I never went down that road before. So the best way for me to know where I was going and know how to get there was to follow and watch guys who've been there before. And that kind of helped my confidence out. Because, yeah, you know, most rookies will tell you, they hit that rookie wall. The rookie wall is real. And what the rookie wall is, being tired of doing the same thing over and over again, over and over again. So just imagine whatever your 9-to-5 is, you wear the same outfit to work, you eat the same meal, you drive the same car, you go the same route, over and over again, and you like mentally, eventually you checked out after the 50th time. So that's kind of what the rookie wall is. And so for me to get through the rookie wall, I was just watching some of the older guys and just seeing like, you know, he's doing this to do that on Sunday. I want to do that on Sunday. So let me follow him and go through the process and complain, but yet and still be ready to be rewarded on Sunday as an individual and as a team. So just the success made me more confident and made me want it more to even grind more.
I tell you, Vince, she's had a two-time Super Bowl champion on. You had a two-time World Series champion on. The sports stars are just coming to the brand.
Yeah, no, Taylor's getting some good guests. She had Vicky Guerrero a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Taylor is ripping it up. I think, Jeff, she may be the youngest member of the brand. I don't want to say that for sure, but I think that she is. And I think Taylor is doing a phenomenal job. I'm very, very happy for her being a part of the brand. Listen to her show, man. She's pulling in some really good guests.
On Wednesday, the Raw and SmackDown review, you, Ben Hameen, Stevie Richards. In this clip, you guys are talking about Sonya Deville's promo from SmackDown.
Sonya Deville's promo. Bro, they never let this girl talk. First of all, bro, this was the first time I really saw Sonya cut a promo. And what I liked about it is there was emotion there. Bro, this was better, in my opinion, than anything Sasha Banks and freaking Bayley have cut combined over the last 3 years. But this is the girl that's not talking. Oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But anyway, I thought her delivery, I thought her emotion was good. The problem was the freaking verbiage they gave her was freaking horrible. You went with me to my sister's wedding. Oh my God, bro. Really, man. And of course, the story being very basic. Guys, how many times have we heard this story from the WWE? You were selfish. It was all about you. You put yourself before the team. So what I walked away from this was Sonya showed me she didn't cut a promo. I don't know why she hasn't cut more promos opposed to the Baileys and the Sashas. I thought the verbiage sucked. Then we had Ziggler come out. Then, you know, he cut a little promo there. Otis came out. Go ahead, Stevie. What you think?
Oh, I agree with you on all those points, but let's touch on the Jeff Hardy angle, the way they shot it and what, how they presented it. Why are they not presenting the same reality? Why do they have an openly gay woman talking about being like associated with a guy? You know what I mean? We touched on this once before that we thought they were going to go with the lesbian angle with these two. We kind of got touched with that emotion, but that emotion would have meant much more if she said, "I'm in love with you," or something to the line, because then we're like, well, she is gay, so that makes sense. But no, now you're introducing two men. It's a mixed tag, even though one woman doesn't care about the guy she's teaming with. And usually that's the undertone of that. Like a mixed tag is like it's couple versus couple. That's what I mean. That's not even a half pregnant thing. That's like 1/8. Yeah. Like anybody that knows her and follows her on social media. And that's the disconnect we'll talk about on Raw too. They see what she represents on social media.
Stevie, not only on social media, on Total Divas.
On Total Divas and in the ring with the rainbow gear.
She saw her girlfriend on Total Divas, for crying out. I saw that episode.
So why is there no like consistency through that?
That's a great question, man. Ben?
She's not half pregnant. It was an abortion, Michael. It was an abortion, just like this segment was an abortion, and I had it killed. Sonya Deville puts over, she's a 5-year vet in this, and I was like, after that, I was over with right there. Drew you in to do, fooled you, I fooled you, and it was all about fire and desire, and you screwed me over. You can just hear Vince McMahon, like, dude, that was what we were going to call him. We're going to call him fire and desire, and that's what Drew. That's what drove you mad. She couldn't do it. You wanted to scissor with her, but she wanted to go with a fat guy. Like, dude, so bad. Yeah. I wrote in the end, this is straight out of the Bella School of Acting. And if that's all you really need to say about the quality of this and content.
We're going to have an intervention right here now.
Yeah, I had similar observations as you. Like, I thought she cut a good promo, but the verbiage was just garbage. Like, you even look at the logic of where this stuff comes from. She's explaining in this promo, I knew if you went with Otis, you would throw me to the curb. But then so she tried to hook her up with Dolph Ziggler. Why would she not throw her to the curb if she hooked up with Dolph Ziggler? Like the logic in this verbiage, like I don't, it's like they don't even think through what they're saying.
No, they don't, bro. Because you listen. First of all, she gave a great performance. The emotion was great. But when you hear the logic of the verbiage and the story they're trying to sell, it just doesn't make sense. And that is not on Sonya. That is on the freaking writers. But I thought her delivery and her emotion was very, very, very good, bro.
Yes, and also, if you're curious to hear an interview with Sonya before she went to WWE, she was on the show with Vince a few years back. It's up on her YouTube. Okay, on Thursday, Black and White, you and Stevie Ray in this clip talking about kind of what we talked about here at the beginning of the show about fear going away and turning into kind of outrage of people being cooped up at home.
Stevie, you think people are getting over that? I'm starting to feel like there was the fear of God,
right?
But I'm starting to feel like that's starting to turn into outrage a little bit. You know, we're going on a month now, bro.
Right.
I think that's starting to turn a little bit.
And big time, the people that really control this company. It's big business in Wall Street. Corporation and Wall Street. It's one thing when we don't get paid. It's another thing when they start to lose money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I spent a lot of money to get you where you're supposed to be. So you need to get over your little experiment because I'm losing money. We're talking about going into billions here in a minute with some of these corporations. So
That might have a lot to do with this new program that's going to come out. Oh, we've hit the peak now. Well, just a few days ago, we had just passed the most people dying. How does that work?
Yeah.
And nobody still hasn't answered my question.
What's that?
Whether it was an accident in Wuhan, China, or whether it's other wet shop. For months and months, they've been telling us about the wet shop and somebody ate a bat. Now it's a biochemical weapon that somebody invented. Which one is it, dog? Yeah. I would just like to know.
We may never know.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. Stevie, if you ran for president, would I be the vice president? Would you elect me as a vice
president? If I ran for president, you would be the first person on my list.
To be vice president?
To be arrested immediately.
Oh. Is that called for? Is treason. That necessary?
For treason. Treason. You turned your back on the United States of America, and I don't care what I have to make up. I'm going to make sure I make it stick. I'm sorry, dog, but that's
that the kind of right. That ain't right. I thought I was your pimp. I was telling everybody last week I was your pimp. Now you're putting me in a clinker for treason.
Well, see, I'm getting rid of all pimps on the street, bro. I'm getting rid of all pimps. You see, you ringleader. You know what I'm saying? You're bad for American youth. American youth need to look up to somebody, man. So that's what I'm doing. I'm changing the rules, man.
I was so proud last week you made me a pimp. What is the president doing in no-win situation, Stevie? What are you doing there? Either way, he's losing.
You know, and Stevie made an interesting point in that clip, Vince, how you know it doesn't matter when everyday people are losing money, but when the corporations are now losing money and they need to get their businesses back up and running, you know, the maybe the message starts to change or the tune starts to change. And that's a pretty good point. So you wonder how much that plays into it too.
Jeff, I can't imagine because I have owned three small businesses. One business had two stores. The other one was just single store operations. Bro, if we had a bad Saturday, our entire month was in the shitter. I cannot imagine these poor people that their shop is closed down. I can't imagine, bro, because I know I ran my own business. I work behind the counter. I can't imagine, bro. Like, again, if I had a bad weekend, whether it was weather, whatever the case may be, bro, I was scrambling just to make ends meet by the end of the month, shutting the doors down. Man, bro, I think about like so many little mom and pop record stores that I go to. Gosh, bro, I can't imagine these people closing their doors. I can't imagine it, bro. And then you got to look at, bro, like, you know, these people have to ask themselves the question. Okay, bro, they're allowed to go to the grocery store and wear their mask and be 6 feet apart from each other. Why can't they come to our store and do the same thing? I mean, you know what I'm saying, bro? You mean to tell me I can't look at records with gloves and a mask and keep myself 6 feet away from people? Like, and I'm just saying records, it could be anything. You know, bro, I think it's a little different where it's like a salon or a nail place or a tattoo parlor. Obviously, bro, you can't be 6 feet from the people. You know what I'm saying? You're doing their hair, you're doing their nails, you're doing a tattoo. You're within close proximity. But if it's like just a retail store, I mean, bro, freaking Home Depot's open. Like, so when they're looking at these rules and regulations, man, bro, they have to be questioned.
Also on Thursday, Goldie's Closet with Goldie Locks. Let's take a look at her highlight clips from the most recent episode.
I said you went out and back and there was some guy crapping in her alley.
Yeah, I mean, is that a good idea to take a shit in somebody's alley?
It's not a good thing to crap outside anyway. That's what bathrooms are for.
But it just seems like most people are just completely stupid and they haven't realized that. Like,
not stupid. What the hour is there?
I think they're
the abbreviation. The abbreviation is AH.
What, right? Assholes?
Yeah.
asshole. You can say assholes on the Realm Network.
That's what they are.
Yeah, they're super assholes. They're not even baby assholes. They're grandma.
They know.
Kevin Bauza, classic Krusty 10, he writes in, the thing that's making him the most angry is that the fact people refuse to do it. I said, what's frustrating you about the mandatory pause? He said, the fact that people refuse to do it. Human beings are the true virus. See, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. That's what everybody says. You can see that these are little tiny penises. You need to back up. And I was like, wow, that's brilliant. I loved that. I ordered some fabric of flying penises, but it hasn't come yet. I was going to make my own mask. But that was the best thing that I've seen on the internet during this virus time is my dad has been sending me some really cool shorts. One of them that you sent me was called Echo. Let's take a look at that right now. Dad, what was your take on Echo? This was just something kind of cool. Guys, check it out. Go look it up, Echo. Look it up on YouTube.
So what I write in is animated sci-fi short film.
The Moth and the Flame, which is a group I didn't even know about until I found this, The New Great Depression. You didn't get a chance to see that video, or did you yet? Man, is that really cool. You're going to really dig it. It is a little boy and his imaginary friend who's a monster that he's terrified of. Lenita Vargas, her biggest concern during the COVID-19. Lenita, I think a lot of people can identify with you. Dad, weigh in on this one. She says a lack of booty calls.
A lack of what?
Booty calls.
Huh? What do you mean?
Oh, no.
Sexy time. What? Hookups. Having guys over. Doing the slim slam.
Of course, the video version of that show exclusive to the Realm Network VIPs, but you can also check out the audio for free on our free platforms. Friday, Vince, Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. After we had discussed prior, a couple weeks prior, the Dirty Sheets report on Carmella and Corey Graves having Corona and Disco's comments on that, the owner of the Dirty Sheets, Billy, reached out to you, wanted to come on the show, and he did. And here's a clip from that episode.
It was supposedly because he came, flew in for another country's quarantine. I go, would it be reasonable to suggest that they're taking the story that Bobby Lashley got corny because it became a thing and listing him as having COVID. That's exactly the conversation we were having on this show. Yeah. Then Vince, to reiterate the story, brings up a text from Bin Hameen.
And it was
who does a show called The Conspiracy Horseman.
Right.
All right. So it's like, you know, so my question was, and I think any reasonable person would ask this, is that if the sources on this story is the dirtysheet.com and the only other person reporting it and saying it is reporting it, texting you, is a guy that does a conspiracy show, I'm going to need more to believe this. Okay, that's exactly what we said on this show.
Can we get more?
Go ahead. Now let Billy respond.
But who you wanted more from is the same generic sources that you want everything from. Like that's it. You've said it. You're set in your ways, and you set
Thank
your
mind you.
That it has to come from here. But okay, the fact is that there's a guy in public relations who always contacts us and says, "Where did you get that from? Where did you get that from?" He's called Adam. He contacted us all the time, and he asks us where we got our stuff from. Do we want to be on their conference calls? Do we want to be on side so that we can fall in line with everybody else and stop breaking their news, which they don't want us to have? And that's what they all do. Oh, we're not on a conference call because we're the ones that said Rusev and Lana want to leave. We're the ones that gave away the main events. We're the ones that give away the money to back winners. We're the ones that told people that Jinder Mahal was winning the title when it's supposed to be a big surprise. Like, that's why they want...
I don't like that. I don't like spoilers, by the way. Go ahead.
They think that we will stop doing what we do because we want to be on the media row giving interviews. We've been offered it at WrestleMania 34 and 33, where we come on, we go in the media row, we go on conference calls, we check our stories through Adam. They feed us little bits and pieces like they do with Saturn and Meltzer, and then everybody copies them. That's not what we're trying to be. We're trying to initially embarrass these people. We're trying to say, you believe in Dave, and Dave's been around for so long. I've come from out of nowhere. Plus, I live in a different country, and I've broken more stories than you throughout the last 3 years. And I have, and it's there. It's fact. Like, I sent it to you guys to have a look at. Like, I broke everything in 2017, and I can even send you, it'll be screenshots from stuff behind my paywall it has been happening. Like, Meltzer's had nothing. The score is about 3,500 to 12. Like, it's not even close what I've been doing to this guy for the last 3 years.
Can you?
Well, let me ask you this, though. I'm going to still continue with the story, okay?
And it was interesting to hear Billy talk about how he does things differently, but we, you know, like to make fun of Meltzer and things and stuff. Meltzer, excuse me, on Castrating the Mark.
You're saying it, stop. You're saying it wrong. Let me teach you how to say it. So once and for all, the L and the X, it kind of won. It's like Meltzer. See, the L and the S, it kind of won. Meltzer.
Yes, but you always talk about how you don't hate the guy. It's in, it's entertainment, it's fun. But I really think, listening to that show, that Billy hates Dave Meltzer.
Well, I think he hates Meltzer. I think he hates Satin more than he hates Meltzer.
Yeah, he does not like either of them.
All. Standing streamer is getting it right. Meltzer. Very nice.
On the latest Triple Threat podcast with the franchise, Shane Douglas, they are talking about advice to wrestlers that were recently released.
What are you telling somebody who's getting released from a WWE contract right now?
Well, the first thing would be, I think, independent contractors, which no more applies to WWE wrestlers than the Man in the Moon, but they're now eligible for unemployment to the federal Pandemic Unemployment Compensation Act, so they can get that, you know, up to $600 per week from the federal government, and whatever the portion of their pay would be maxed out at the state level, probably about $1,000-1,200 a week, which ain't a bad gig for sitting home. And from what I understand, a lot of those people that were released were probably relieved. I know that I'd heard some particular names on there that were asking for their release or getting ready to ask for their release. So who knows? They may be happy to have stepped off and been able to get out a nice clean break and not locked down by a contract. Again, I think it just bodes very poorly when you see the quote unquote NFL of our industry having kids begging to get out, hoping to be able to get out. And now I'm not suggesting that all those that were released were, but we know that certainly there were some. It just seems strange to me, you know, that every kid out there that ever puts on a pair of boots, I'm sure today, aspires to get to that NFL of our industry, the WWE, get there and then say, hey, I'd really rather be out of here. I don't like being here. Just seems strange to me. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I can't imagine some kid fresh out of college gets drafted into the NFL and gets there and goes, yeah, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I'd really rather be down at the college level.
Yeah.
And that's the WWE. That's the professional wrestling / sports entertainment industry circa 2020 in the midst of a pandemic.
That's a great point by Shane there, Vince. You imagine people get into the NFL, Major League Baseball, you know, the NBA or whatever, and like, oh, I don't want to work here anymore. But that happens with the biggest company in wrestling.
That's a great analogy. And, bro, like I tell every professional wrestler, bro, like I just got to bring this up. You know, I love Drake Maverick, Spud. You know, he cuts that video of him crying. I saw AJ, you know, and he was like just devastated that his two best buddies were gone. Guys, here's the best advice I could give you. You have to go into the wrestling business knowing every day can be your last day. That's got to be your mentality, bro. And that's why every second of television time should be so important. From day one, bro, you should be building your brand for the day that you're not going to be there. That's what you should be doing. That should be the mindset. All right, I'm with the WWE. I'm going to take advantage of every single second that I'm here. I'm going to take advantage of the machine. I'm going to take advantage of Fox. I'm going to take advantage of USA Network. I am going to promote my brand. That is going to be my priority. So when I am no longer here, I will make a living three times over. Guys, that's how you have to go into the wrestling business, man. And I just like when I saw some of the reactions to the being let goes and stuff, I was like, God, guys, like seriously, man, like what did you think? Wrestling is the last thing in the world that's forever. Trust me, bro. Wrestling is not forever.
And we wrap up the week on Saturday with Bucket Full of Chicken Necks. And in this clip, you're talking about Diamond Dallas Page and what he's doing right now with DDP Yoga.
But I got to give props to my boy DDP. Listen, everybody knows my son Will works for DDP Yoga. And Page has been a great boss to my son. And forget about boss, bro. Page has been a great mentor to my son Will. Bro, there are very few people that have a stronger work ethic than me. Very few people. Very few people. I can name them on one hand. Bro, the only people I've come across in my lifetime that have a stronger work ethic than me, let me think. Vince McMahon, no doubt about it, bro. Vince would be the first car at the office and the last to leave every single day, number one. Paige, no doubt about it. Bro, Paige was telling me about DDP Yoga before he wrote his book. Paige was telling me, bro, about DDP Yoga and his plans back in 1999, bro. This is 20 years ago. The guy has built an empire. The guy has built an empire on commitment, but the guy has really built an empire on heart, man. Paige is not a gimmick when it comes to really caring about other people and really wanting to help other people. And bro, you're seeing that now. Paige isn't ready to open now. Paige doesn't want to put his employees in harm's way, and he doesn't want to put his customers in harm's way. So Paige is going to bite the bullet and he's not going to open up right now. I respect Paige. And even in doing so, bro, he put over the governor. He put over what a difficult decision it is. But, you know, hats off to guys like Paige. You know, he's a guy, bro, that can probably afford a little bit more time than the common business owner. And he's going to take that time. And like I said, bro, not knocking the governor, not knocking the state officials. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm very lucky that my son Will works for a guy like Diamond Dallas Page, bro. God bless him, bro.
Of course, you know you put over what he's done for Will. But you also mentioned in that clip about his work ethic, and you mentioned Vince McMahon as someone who had great work ethic. Anybody else that you worked with, you know, throughout the years that you saw work ethic from, that, you know, because you always talk about, I think you said that there's very few people that you thought had a better work ethic than you, but you mentioned Vince and DDP. Is there anyone else in that conversation?
I would probably put in there too, bro. I think it's different now, bro, because, you know, he's a little older and stuff. And I think, you know, he's more concerned with his health and well-being and whatnot. I will definitely put JR in that category. Okay, but and like I said, I think it's different now, bro, you know? And bro, listen, I got to be honest with you. I got to put Bruce in that category, but I think Bruce does it to a fault. I mean, to this day, Bruce is still giving his life to Vince McMahon. To this day, I think Bruce does it to a fault. Bischoff is not on that list. Bischoff, when I worked with Bischoff at WCW and TNA, I'm talking about when I worked with him. I'm not talking about prior to me working with him. I don't know what he did prior to building WCW. I don't know what he did with Vern Gagne at AWA. I don't know. I can tell you, when I worked with Bischoff at WCW and especially at TNA, bro, he did as little work as possible. He literally did as little work as possible. But, you know, JR, Bruce, you know, Paige, Vince McMahon, and bro, there are so many, many other people that I'm, you know, I'm not mentioning, but
yeah, Virtue's asking about Ed.
No, I wouldn't say, no, Ed, bro, listen, Ed was very smart. You know, Ed knew when he needed his time off. I did too, guys. I knew when I needed to get away from everybody or else I was going to like lose it. And, you know, Ed was like that too. And the good thing about me and Ed, bro, was we worked with each other for most of the time. So we didn't, you know, we didn't put that kind of pressure on each other. You know what I mean? Bro, Barash was a workaholic. You know, Jeremy, you know, no question about it, was a workaholic. When I worked with Conway at, I think Conway's working for NWA now. Conway worked his ass off at TNA. So there are, you know, there are a lot of guys that, you know, really, really worked. Dixie worked her ass off. Yeah, I would not take that away from Dixie. Dixie definitely worked her her ass off.
Remember, guys, you can get all of these shows for less than $1 a week. It's only $3.95 a month. There's zero long-term commitment. You can opt out at any time. Get these shows in video and audio. All you got to do is go to russosbrand.com. Right at the top, click subscribe to the Realm Network. You can check me out, guys, to do a couple things on the side. Patreon.com/JeffLane22. I review Raw, SmackDown, do some video game things, and I also go through the show Lost, currently going through that episode by episode. And I also have a Twitch channel where I do some live gaming at twitch.tv/JeffLane22.
All right, no DQ Virtue wants me to say that Jeff Jarrett worked his ass off. Yes, Jeff Jarrett did work his ass off. TNA was his baby at the start. You know, bro, things I didn't say Jeff immediately because things changed when Dixie took over, and things changed more and more when it became more of the Curtis company than the Jarretts. But when Jeff started that company, absolutely without a shadow of a doubt, Jeff worked his ass off. Guys, I can name a million people. I'm not going to say John Gaborik did. I did not work with John Gaborik on a full-time basis. So I can't say how hard John Gaborik worked. I can only talk about people I work with. Guys, also go to patreon.com/Russo, TWC. We have a whole slate of other shows. If you like what we're doing on the brand, bro, there's completely different other shows on patreon.com/RussoTWC. They start at 75 cents a week. Check them out. Guys, check me out on Twitch. I am on there quite a bit. twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive. That is it, everybody. We will be back tomorrow with Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco right here on the brand and also on Patreon. We will have Time Out with Disco Inferno. See you guys there.